All disease begins in the gut. Hippocrates.
Empowerment and education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Hey there, revolutionaries. This is Samantha Lee right here, and thanks so much for listening to the Essential Oil Revolution. So for today's episode, we're going to talk about kombucha, how it relates to your health, and different tips for maintaining a really healthy gut system. The gut is really just the seedbed of our entire healthy organism. So much of our health is determined by the gut. Here's a really interesting fact. You might not know this already, but 80% of your immune system is located in your digestive tract, which makes healthy gut such a major focal point if you want to achieve optimal health, which I know you do because you're listening to this podcast. But first, let's pull a recipe out of our DIY dugout. This recipe is for energized laundry, and it comes from Emily Haven from emilyhavenphotography.com. To make energized laundry, use 100% all natural wool dryer balls, which you can find on Amazon, and add a few drops of peppermint oil to each dryer ball just before tossing into the dryer with wet clothes for a clean, uplifting, and energizing scent. This is especially awesome for sports uniforms to rid them of sweat smells and to add a boost of energy during a game, which peppermint is known for. Thanks, Emily, from emilyhavenphotography.com, who's living in St. Paul, Oregon. To submit your own recipe to The Dugout, simply email us at revolutionoilspodcast@gmail.com.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life, and it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of a life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
Here we go. I'm here with Shannon Hennigan from livinghealthyher.com, and we are going to dive headfirst into gut health. I think gut health is something that I'm sure we could all use a little bit of help on. Definitely a tough issue to deal with. So we're going to dive in and talk all about how to maintain that healthy gut system. And we're also going to dive into the world of kombucha. And Shannon's going to share with us all about kombucha, how to make your own, and the different benefits of drinking this delicious fermented beverage that you may or may not have heard about. So Shannon, welcome to the show. We're so glad that you're here.
Thanks, Sam. I'm really happy to be here and excited to talk about kombucha and gut health.
Well, I'm excited for you to be here. And I know that you have a lot of different passions and you're an avid researcher. So you could probably talk about a lot of different topics for us. But for this episode, we're going to focus in and just talk about gut health. Now, I think gut health is probably really one of the most important aspects of our bodies. Like experts say, it all begins in the gut. What's your opinion? How do you think the gut plays a role in our overall health of the body? And what can you explain to us what happens when our digestive system sort of gets off track and stops functioning well?
Right. I think a lot of people have heard the term, you know, that the gut is referred to as the second brain. I know that's like, I've heard that so much in the recent past. I think dysfunctions in the gut can cause symptoms in parts of the body that you wouldn't even think can be linked to a digestive issue. And because of this, a great deal of issues that are linked to the gut go undiagnosed. An unhealthy gut can lead to digestive disorders, but also other various health issues, including things like autoimmune diseases, mood disorders, neurological disorders, you name it. People experience a lot of symptoms and they don't even realize that it could be related to a dysfunction in the gut. It's really overlooked as a cause. Only symptoms are treated.
Yeah, we tend to look at the body as so separate. You know, people say, oh, I'm having, you know, a headache, or I'm having allergies, or I'm having this or that. And they kind of look at all of these symptoms as being so separate from one another, and like different parts of our body aren't related somehow. But that's what I love about holistic health. It looks at the whole body as a whole and how these parts are connected to one another. And and I think it's really interesting to look at so many of different health experts out there saying that really you have to start with the gut. You have to start with the stomach.
Right. And people are so focused on symptoms and they just take a medication just for that symptom without thinking about what could be causing it. You know, I see a lot of people, I mean, obviously I'm not a doctor, but I see a lot of people, I've read this term where they are just painting the brown leaves of a dying tree green, you know, and that, I think that is a great analogy because they just keep covering up the problem without trying to find the underlying issue. They're just trying to make the symptoms go away and not solve the root cause of what's going on with them.
Now, what role does probiotics play in all of this?
Probiotics are important. They're live microorganisms that help with digestion. They provide nutrients and support the immune system. They're similar to the kind of good bacteria that's naturally found in our digestive systems. They're great because they can prevent and even alleviate different conditions in the digestional tract, particularly those that affect certain things that we do every day in our digestion. Probiotics are, they're present and abundant, and it's harder for the bacteria to take over when they're there. The probiotics kind of suppress the growth of that quote-unquote bad bacteria. Some things that you might want to eat if you're looking to incorporate more probiotics into your diet are things like yogurts and cheeses. And I think that the most important thing to look for is live and active cultures on the label. I also think it's important to buy organic whenever possible, because a lot of hormones and antibiotics go into the cows, and then you are ultimately ingesting those items when you buy non-organic dairy products.
So when you eat non-organic dairy or meat, you're basically ingesting antibiotics on a small level. But if you keep doing that every day, day in and day out, those antibiotics are really going to build up in your body and destroy that healthy bacteria that really your gut needs to function properly.
Right.
I heard this somewhere, and now I can't remember. I'm going to have to look it up later. But I think I've heard that there's somewhere around like 4 to 10 pounds of bacteria in your gut system alone that needs to be there to function properly. Have you ever heard that before?
No, but that is a really astounding fact that, wow.
Yeah.
Some other probiotic foods that I personally like, their non-dairy options are like miso. I love miso. So I eat a lot of miso soup, sauerkraut. I know some people aren't into sauerkraut, but I love it and I eat it all the time. Kombucha has great probiotics in it, real pickles, and just other fermented vegetables. I've also read about eating foods that are high in prebiotics. And so these prebiotics feed the probiotics, and they help nourish them and keep them strong to protect us against the harmful bacteria. And foods like bananas, whole grains, honey, garlic and onions are some that I've incorporated into my diet to help with that too.
Oh, I didn't know those were prebiotics. That's good to know. Now, what about taking like a supplemental probiotic as well? Like, would you recommend people start out if they have poor digestive systems, or maybe start out with like just food or something? And I know Young Living makes a probiotic that I really love. Mm-hmm. I think that some of the ones at the health food store are pretty good as well. What tips do you have for someone looking into those?
I think that it depends on the person. I started out trying probiotic supplements and I never really found one that worked for me. And there are so many out there. Like it's overwhelming when you go to the store and you see all these supplements in the refrigerated section of your health food store, and you're like, oh my gosh, where do I start? And that's kind of where I was. I went into the health food store, and I was overwhelmed. Also, they can be quite pricey. So for me, I found it easier and more cost-effective to just eat foods that are high in probiotics and drink kombucha. Not to say that that's going to work for everybody. You know, if you have an unhealthy gut, then you may need to start with a really strong probiotic supplement. But for me, I just enjoy eating probiotic foods and drinking kombucha to help keep my gut healthy. But I think it's different for everybody, and it's something that you are unfortunately going to have to kind of experiment with, I think, especially if the foods that are high in probiotics aren't your favorite. And it's going to be a journey, and you need to make sure you do your research and buy the right probiotics, because there are a lot out there that may not work as well as you'd like them to, I think.
So, Shannon, what about detoxes and things? I know that detoxes, things like the Master Cleanse, things like that can be really popular among healthy-minded folks. What are your take on that?
Yes, I know those are very popular today. I personally have had several friends that did improper cleanses or fasting, and they did a lot of damage to their bodies. They actually did, I know a few friends that did a water fast and a few friends that did a juice fast. So you're only either consuming water and supplements or just juice. And some of those friends actually developed jaundice and now have permanent damage to their livers because of the extreme fasting and cleanses that they've done. Mm-hmm. Because of this, I only tried my first cleanse about 4 or 5 years ago, and you have to be really careful. I am not into the extreme cleanses or fasting. I generally, maybe around the start of each season, I do a really simple cleanse that's not extreme, where for the first 5 to 7 days, I only eat raw, well, as many raw vegetables as possible, but I don't include potatoes or corn. And I eat maybe one fruit every other day, if that. Then after the 5 to 7 days of just the veggies, mostly raw and organic, if I can, I start to add in other foods gradually. So like one day I'll add nuts and seeds. Then the next day I'll add in like legumes, so like beans and things like that. And then my last thing that I add in is kind of clean meats. And I really try to keep out the carbs and things like that, because personally, I find that my body runs better when I'm not eating those heavy whole grains and things like that. I might eat some rice or other items, but personally, I try to avoid the whole grains. My body definitely runs a lot cleaner when I do that. So once a season, I do this cleanse, and it really works well for me, but I do not personally recommend the extreme cleanses only because of what I've seen happen to close friends of mine.
Yeah, I've had some really negative experiences with really extreme cleanses as well. I tend to be kind of an extreme person. I'm like all or nothing. So, you know, I tend to not jump into things gently. But when it comes to your body and your health, it's really, you can't stress enough the importance of easing in and being gentle on yourself and not going from this one extreme to another. I think it's really important. I don't know if you've heard of the book Inner Transformations with Essential Oils.
I have not.
It's you can get it on Abundant Health for You, the number four, the letter U.com. I love this book. So you were kind of talking about, you know, really doing your research, and if you want to do a cleanse, follow some sort of guideline that's kind of gentle. And I love this book. It has lots of different sort of stages of how to gently detox your body and bring it back to a healthier state using a lot of different modalities. But it seems to be a much gentler approach than sort of these more extreme detoxes that you hear a lot about. I really love that book. It would be interesting to hear your take on it as well if you ever did check it out.
Yeah, that sounds like a great resource.
I'll be sure to add that to the show notes for this page. But the book's called Inner Transformations with Essential Oils, and you can find it at abundanthealthforyou.com. I highly recommend it. Now, why do you think so many people out there suffer from indigestion? It seems like really probably 9 out of 10 people are going to say that they suffer from some sort of digestive problem. Is that just from our poor diets, or is there anything else at play here?
I personally see so many people in my life and just in society today eating processed foods as the main component of their diet because they are easy, convenient, and a lot of times they're packed with flavor, which are mostly artificial, of course. Processed foods are high in sugar and chemical additives, but they're also low in nutrients that can really decimate the beneficial bacteria in our guts, and that allows the harmful bacteria to thrive. And I really, in my opinion, I really think that that is one of the main reasons why so many people suffer from indigestion. They're not eating these wholesome foods that they should be eating. And it's, I understand that it's the ease and the convenience of these processed foods because people are on the run and they need this quick, but it's so important to eat, you know, high quality foods, mostly focusing on veggies and organic foods. Again, I'll go back to the mentality of treating the symptoms and not the underlying cause. People who say they suffer from indigestion, heartburn, or other digestive disorders, they may just say, oh, I'm just going to take this pill or pop a Tums and then it'll get rid of my symptom without thinking, hey, maybe there's another reason why I'm having these things happen to me. And they're not focusing on fixing the underlying issue. They're just trying to fix the immediate symptom and get an immediate result. And they expect to get better, but it's not going to happen.
Right. And worse too, is if they don't really treat the underlying problem, you know, with the digestive tract, then that's going to really leak into all these other health conditions that they don't even think are related. And, you know, what happens to our gut when it stops functioning properly is we stop being able to absorb the nutrients that we need to really live to our fullest. And, you know, we're not able to really take in what our body needs. And then so everything else sort of just starts to shut down after that. I think it's really interesting if you look at other countries, or maybe countries that we think of as third world countries where food is not as readily available. You've got people that are starving in comparison to industrialized countries because they're not able to eat as much food, but they're actually healthier and tend to live longer with less diseases than we do here in America, because at least the food they are getting is real food. You know, it might not be as often, but it's real. And they've done studies on people that live in these countries are much healthier than we are here in America, even though we have access to so much food. But just because you feel full, it does not mean that you're getting what your body needs to really thrive.
I think that's a great point, Sam. I also, going back to people living in other countries, I mean, our ancestors, you know, coming from wherever in the world, used to have to ferment foods to preserve them. You know, there weren't refrigerators and there weren't processed foods that they could just open the box and they're, you know, cook them up and they're ready to eat. You know, it was a thing where they had to ferment these foods in order to preserve them, but it also was helping greatly with their digestion. And I've read so many articles about how these major issues with our gut health have not been around that long, and it's prevalent in this day and age because of how we are eating.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. I never really made that connection between, yeah, the way we used to have to preserve food really in turn made it healthier for us in a way, and especially with fermentation like you were talking about. So kombucha is a fermented beverage, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So can you explain that to people that maybe aren't familiar with what that even means to be fermented?
Right. I mean, it is kind of similar to how other fermented things happen, like wine or fermented foods. Keeping it real simple, kombucha is just a fermented drink that's made with tea, sugar, water, and something called a SCOBY, which is a symbiotic colony of bacteria and yeast. And this drink has honestly been around for thousands of years. It originated in the Far East, and it really only became popular in the past few years, well, maybe a decade or so. Once it's fermented, it contains vinegar, B vitamins, digestive enzymes, probiotics, antioxidants, and acids, which are linked to many, many health benefits, including like improved digestion, weight loss, increased energy. It can cleanse and detox the body, gives great immune support, and even joint support. Kombucha is such a great thing. I mean, I could talk forever, but it's a complicated drink, but it's so simple to make. And a lot of people, I think, are scared of that. But I think it's really important to start incorporating that into our daily lives.
Yeah, I think that it's important as well. If you're not used to that fermented taste, it might be a little bit jarring at first, you know, if you're not used to that sort of vinegar type taste. But I think it's so fascinating when you're talking about you just start out with basically tea and sugar, and then you put that SCOBY in there, which ferments it. And that process of fermentation transforms that drink. For anything fermented, it's going to transform whatever you started with and transform it into something healthier that's going to be chock full of new vitamins, probiotics, antioxidants. Like you said, it's like magic, really. If you think about it, you know, you're looking at it and it's just sitting there. But this process is happening in the background called fermentation that just creates this wondrous concoction for you that's so good for your body.
Right. And, you know, it's so expensive in the stores. You know, before I started making kombucha, I would buy it multiple times a week, and it's like $3 to $5 for just one bottle. And I think if more people realize that it's simple to make, that they'll save so much money, and they're more likely to incorporate it into their daily lives.
Yeah. So will you break it down for us for someone that is interested in making their own kombucha? Do you think you could explain that kind of simply and in easy words for the layman?
Sure, definitely. The hardest part about making kombucha is acquiring a SCOBY. So it's that symbiotic culture of bacteria and yeast that I said. You can make your own from a bottle of kombucha from the store, but then I'm not a big fan of doing that because you don't know where they're getting their tea from. You don't know where they got their SCOBY from. So I prefer to either, maybe you have a friend that already makes kombucha, and the SCOBY generally reproduces every time you make a batch, and that needs to be removed. So the new, I guess it's called a baby SCOBY from the mother, it grows, and it should be removed anyway. So if you have a friend that already makes kombucha, just ask them for one of their baby SCOBYs, and then you can start your own. Or you could also purchase one. I have found some great companies on Etsy, but there are many options where you could buy a SCOBY. So once you get the SCOBY, it's so easy.
Yeah, I used to make my own kombucha at home, and I would love putting on Craigslist. I would say, on the free list on Craigslist, I would say free SCOBYs. And I would meet the most interesting people because, first of all, it takes kind of, I don't know, a certain type of person that wants to make their own kombucha, and then another type of person that's willing to go meet a stranger off of Craigslist to go pick up, a SCOBY or something. So,
Well, that's a great idea.
yeah, I would make the best connections through this. I'd be like, oh man, tell me more about you. And you really get to meet some really, really amazing people when you put yourself out there like that. So that was always fun. But I love SCOBYs too. They look really interesting. So they look basically like a white pancake, I guess. And then it grows, and as it grows in these layers. So it's really easy just to kind of peel off a layer of this SCOBY, and then that's what you need to start your next batch of kombucha. So what do you do next once you acquire a SCOBY?
So once you have the SCOBY, you need to make sure that you have the tea that you'd like to use. And, I've used a bunch of different types of teas in my experimentation, but you need to make sure that you have at least around 20 to 25% black tea. So once you have your tea, and I can talk more about where I get my tea in a minute, but you just need a gallon. I do a gallon at a time. You can double it, triple it, whatever you want to do, but this recipe is for 1 gallon, is what I generally do. So you need a gallon jug or like one of those dispensers that has the little thing at the bottom. You need a large pot to boil the water in, and you need filtered or spring water. I only use water filtered through my Berkey filter. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of that system, but I love it. I got it about 5 years ago, and you only need to replace the filter every 3 to 5 years. It's really affordable, and then you don't have all that waste from plastic bottles. And I have not liked other systems that I've used for filtering water. So the Berkey removes viruses, pathogens, even like pharmaceuticals that can show up in our drinking water, heavy metals, even chlorine. And I also get the additional fluoride filter, and we can talk about that more in a second. So you just need the 8 to 10 bags or 8 to 10 tablespoons of your tea along with the water. You need 1 cup of sugar. I use only organic, but that's up to you. I prefer the organic. And then I have a coffee filter that I use to cover the container because the kombucha needs to breathe. So I use a coffee filter to cover the top and put a rubber band over it. And then you just need the glass bottles to put the kombucha in once it's done fermenting. And basically, you boil the water. You add the tea and brew it according to the instructions. So, depending on what type of tea you're using, follow the instructions that it tells you to brew it at. Then you stir in the sugar until it's dissolved. Let it cool to room temperature. Then you pour the sugar and tea mixture into your glass container. Add the SCOBY, and that generally comes with a starter liquid. So, if you get one from a friend, ask them for a little bit of starter liquid too. You cover the container with the coffee filter. Let it sit 7 to 10 days in a warm area out of direct sunlight. I generally like to taste it after 5 days to see how the fermenting process is going, because it can vary depending on seasons, how warm you keep your house, etc. If it tastes sweet, you need to let it ferment a little bit longer. Once it tastes good to you, so that's the nice thing, you can customize the taste to how you would like to drink it. Once it tastes good to you, you place it in the individual glass bottles and refrigerate it overnight, then it's ready to drink. I personally like to have a little bit more fizz, carbonation in my kombucha. So once I bottle it, I place it in a warm, dark place for 2 to 3 days to let it kind of get that carbonation, and then I refrigerate it. So all of these steps are on my website. I have a whole blog post on how to make kombucha, so you can always go there and just look at the process. But it's really simple and easy, and I hope people are not afraid to do it, because it's such an easy process and it's so much more affordable to do it this way.
Mm-hmm. It really is very easy. Now, I think one thing that might be holding listeners back, since we do have a lot of really healthy, health conscious people listening to this show, and one of their biggest concerns, I think, is the sugar. They think that there's so much sugar that you need to make the kombucha, and they don't want to ingest that sugar. Do you want to talk about what happens to that sugar and what happens to the sugar content?
The sugar pretty much just feeds the SCOBY, which is the same thing that happens when you're making wine. You know, the sugar feeds the yeast. So the overall sugar content is not very high, because if anyone's ever tasted kombucha, unless there's a lot of fruit juice added to it, like maybe the ones in the store, but my kombucha that I make at home is not sweet really at all. It's mostly that fizzy for me, because I ferment mine a little longer, but the sugar really is just all consumed by the SCOBY to make the fermentation process happen.
Well, I loved when you sent in the recipe for episode 23. And I don't know if you want to call it a recipe or more just a tip that you can add your essential oils to the kombucha to increase the taste, because some people don't like the taste of plain kombucha, or maybe even add some extra healthy benefits with the digestive oils. So if you do want to add essential oils to your kombucha, would you add it in during the fermentation process or just wait till afterward?
No, you would add it kind of like right before you would drink it, I would suggest, because then you're getting the most beneficial properties of the oil too, and the most taste. Right before I drink my kombucha, I'll just add whatever oil I'm feeling that day. You know, I add some of my favorites, for example, are grapefruit, tangerine. Maybe do ginger and lemon together. That's a really good one.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, I love that one. And so I would just add it right before you're about to drink it. And obviously don't shake it, but just kind of tip the bottle upside down a few times, and that'll kind of incorporate it in. And so I would definitely suggest adding it right before you drink it for the best outcome.
Great. Now, what oils would you suggest adding if we wanted to give an extra punch to our healthy guts? You know, what oils are really great for supporting a healthy digestive system?
I really love peppermint, and it's one of the most simple, straightforward oils, but I love adding peppermint to my kombucha, to my tea, to anything to kind of give that extra punch. Degais is also a really great one. I personally am not a fan of the taste, but I know a lot of people love like a licorice-y taste that comes from the fennel in that oil. So that is a great one to add to, especially if you like the licorice taste. That one would give a great boost to your already amazing benefits from the probiotics in the kombucha. The Degais oil, I think, would be a great addition.
Yeah, I think Degais is one of my absolute favorites. It's definitely not one that smells the best. You wouldn't want to, you know, wear it as a perfume or diffuse it. I've gotten used to the taste, so I really like it. But it's just such a powerful combination of these different herbs and spices that are so supportive to our digestive system. So if you're not familiar with this blend of tarragon, ginger, peppermint, juniper, fennel, lemongrass, and anise and patchouli. So all of those, the anise, the peppermint, the ginger, fennel, like those is such a powerful combination, and it's so soothing to your digestive system. So I never travel without this oil. I never go to an Indian restaurant or a buffet. We have an Indian buffet in our town, and I will admit I'm not good at stopping myself from getting a second or even third plate sometimes. So I all, you know, I pretty much always leave that restaurant just with my food baby in my belly, and so I go home and I put some Daiguais in my water and I sip it down, and it's just so soothing and so supporting to that digestive process. Well, I'm so glad that you mentioned the fluoride earlier, and I know that was something that I was a little bit concerned. I really wanted to do a episode about kombucha, but something that I'd heard about and learned about with kombucha, and it's actually why I stopped making my own kombucha, was because I was reading about the fluoride levels of kombucha because of the tea being really high. And fluoride is something that I think is just so toxic and dangerous to our bodies. So when we were talking about doing this episode, I asked you to maybe do some research into that. And so I'm so excited that you've actually found an answer to this question. And I'm excited for you to share it with our listeners as well. So, what did you learn about the fluoride connection with kombucha?
I learned that it's really a simple solution to this problem is by purchasing high quality organic tea. Organic tea only takes up the natural fluoride present that's already in the soil. You can also consider using a blend, if you're that concerned, just use a blend of mostly organic white tea, because the white tea is, you know, just the bud and the first two leaves. So it's the smallest, newest bud, and that doesn't have time to kind of soak up the fluoride from the soil. You still will need to use about 20 to 25% of the black tea, like I said, but some people are concerned because black tea is the oldest, and these leaves can contain more fluoride because they have more time to soak it up. I would also avoid bottled kombucha from the store because you have no way of knowing what tea it's made from, like where it came from, what quality tea they're using, or what country it's from. And I know there are certain countries that are more likely to contain teas with fluoride. And I think I read it was the Middle East, maybe some places in China. A lot of my tea that I buy comes from Taiwan. So I use a lot of oolongs and black teas from Taiwan. Another major thing is making sure your water does not contain fluoride when you're making your kombucha. And like I said, I use the Berkey filters that are amazing, and they have an additional filter that you can purchase that will get rid of the fluoride in your water. So I highly recommend doing that if you're concerned about fluoride when you're making kombucha. Some of the reputable companies that I personally buy from are Strand Tea Company, Smacha Tea Company, Red Blossom Tea Company, and something called Yunnan Sourcing. They're all really high quality companies with great teas, and they have several organic options. I also have a friend who's the one who got me so involved in tea and developed my love of tea. He has some great teas as well. His company is called Kanata Imports, and he has some great teas that you can purchase as well.
Oh, that's fantastic to know. Well, I'm so glad that you did that research, and I'm excited to start making kombucha again. I didn't realize that it really just had to do with the soil that the tea bushes were grown in, and because of the, you know, fertilization having fluoride in it and things like that, that's what causes that fluoride to get into the tea leaves. But that's not across the board. So, you know, basically you just buy good quality organic tea and you're all good.
Exactly.
Well, Shannon, this has been really fantastic, and I'm excited to get my kombucha on again. I'm really excited, and especially to add some essential oils in there to make it even more powerful and tasty. So, thank you so much for sharing all that with us. And before you go, would you be willing to share with our listeners what your daily health habits look like? It's a question we like to ask all of our guests just to give people that practical insight into what a healthy lifestyle looks like on a day-to-day basis.
I have recently eliminated all toxic products from my life, so I'm really aware of what I'm putting in and on my body. I try to make as many products as possible, so that's really part of my daily health habit. I use my Young Living essential oils every day, whether it be, you know, using my diffuser In this time, I use a respiratory support blend, like whether it be, you know, I might diffuse Thieves or other respiratory blends. I use a skin serum every day that has frankincense, tea tree, and lavender to help support healthy skin. I live in Western New York, so it gets really dry and cold up here, and I really need to take care of my skin. I try to exercise at least 3 to 4 times a week. I do yoga, cardio, strength training, whatever I can fit in. And I really try to take time for myself, whether it be something simple like reading a book and having a cup of tea, going for a walk, or, you know, just doing one of my hobbies that I'm into at that time. I really try to take time for myself and live every day as best I can and better myself each day. You know, I'm really into doing research. And so I get really into learning new things every day and trying to better myself every day.
Knowledge is power. That's for sure. And finally, what's just one thing we should all ditch completely and replace with something healthier today?
I'm going to try to say something unique because I've heard a lot of the other things that people have said in the other interviews, and I agree with all of them. So I'm trying to be unique here, and I'm going to say unnecessary electronics.
Ooh, good one.
So, like, get active, find new hobbies. Don't just sit in front of the TV or on your iPad or on your phone, especially at night. You know, find something that you love and do it. It's hard in the winter. I know for maybe people in the South, it's not as hard, but up in the North, it gets really cold and dreary, and it's hard to kind of not just sit in front of the TV and watch something. I'm not saying ditch TV altogether. I have shows that I love to watch, especially ones about Alaska. I love those shows, but you just need to try to get rid of those unnecessary electronics and use that time to find something that you love, replace it with a hobby, a passion, even trying something new, whatever it might be. I recently joined a cookbook club at the library with my sister, and it's great. I love it, you know, and it's something that I can do instead of sitting at home on a Friday night and watching TV or something like that. So it's really important to get out there and ditch the unnecessary electronics and find your passion.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that community is so healing. You know, it's not a food, it's not a supplement, it's not exercise. But I do think that finding community and just being around people is one of the healthiest things that you can do for yourself. So long as you're surrounding yourself with positive people and not toxic people, people that are going to support your life choices, your healthy habits and things like that. But I'm glad that you said that one. I think that's great. Well, thanks, Shannon, so much for taking the time to be with us here on the Essential Oil Revolution. I'm so happy that you came and shared this knowledge with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Sam. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So I hope that inspires a few of you to perhaps give kombucha a try and maybe make your own. And just if anyone's curious, I did check my facts on how much bacteria is actually in your gut. And in fact, there is about 3 to 4 pounds of bacteria in your gut at one time if you were able to just squish it all up into a ball. So I think that's a pretty interesting fact. It might gross some of you out, but just try to embrace the good bacteria, keep the good bacteria good so that they can fight away the bad. And so much of that has to do with keeping that healthy flora going on in your gut with probiotics, fermented foods, and just really taking care of yourself. As always, keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well, y'all. You are worth it.